Okay. So, Corey, maybe you can talk a little bit about this issue of choice of induction therapy. Particularly, I'm interested in your thoughts about the older patient with poor performance status.
Sure enough, Neil. Thank you very much for inviting me. So, really, we're looking at the histologic distinctions in the management of non-small cell lung cancer in 2013. Just two questions I've been tasked with. Number one, the pan-negative or triple-negative lung cancer patient. What's the optimal approach? And then the special populations, older individuals, PS2, or those with comorbidities. Just to remind everybody, it is absolutely critical that we engage our pathologists in discussions with our patients. We need to distinguish adeno from squamous. This was not the case 10 years ago, wasn't even really the case 5 or 6 years ago, but is absolutely essential in this day and age. Adenocarcinoma, of course, is characterized by a glandular pattern. About 50% of non-small cell adeno will be mucin positive, so be careful about confusing that with GI origin tumors. TTF1 is the signal, 75% are positive. Remember, if you have a lung mass that's spiculated and it's TTF1 negative, it's probably still lung cancer. Squamous cell characterized by cellular keratinization is shown here. Intracellular bridges, pearl formation, generally TTF1 negative, and roughly 2/3 to 3/4 of patients P63 or P40 positive. But we have to hold our pathologists' feet to the fire. They need to distinguish squamous from adeno, and really, if at all possible, abandon the NOS designation. These are the three most important trials from my standpoint when we look at the emergence of histology as a determinant of treatment. First, the ECOG 4599 effort you're all familiar with that isolated the role of bevacizumab in combination with standard chemo showed a statistically significant, clinically modest, but I would still argue clinically meaningful improvement in median 1 and 2 year survival. Remember, squamous patients were excluded from this effort, as was any antecedent history of significant hemoptysis, and for that matter, the presence of brain mets, even if they had been treated. There have been subsequent trials like PASSPORT that have shown that Bev is safe in that setting. The second very important trial, one of the largest ever conducted in advanced non-small cell, was the Scagliotti effort that compared PEM-CIS to GEM-CIS in, again, advanced disease, good performance status patients. It's looking for non-inferiority, and no surprise, there was absolutely no difference in overall survival when you compare the two arms, essentially identical median survival. But Giorgio Scagliotti had the foresight to do a pre-specified histology analysis, hypothesizing that adenocarcinoma, which is relatively lower in TS, might be preferentially sensitive to pemetrexed, and this is borne out clinically. Non-squamous histology patients doing far better with the PEM-CIS combination compared to CIS-GEM. A modest improvement in the median survival, but over time those survival curves separate quite a bit. Conversely, in the squamous population, we see an advantage for gemcitabine, almost a reciprocal when we look at the hazard ratios with the HR of 1.23. So this was the first time we had ever seen a distinction in our choice of cytotoxics in advanced disease based solely on histology. More recently, the nab-paclitaxel trial, weekly nab-paclitaxel without interruption given in combination with carbo versus a standard PAC-carbo combination. Again, a very large trial, over 1,000 patients, good performance status, all chemo-naive. Response rate was significantly higher in the squamous cell population using nanoparticle albumin-bound paclitaxel, not so in the non-squamous cohort. So an advantage over solvent-based taxanes in squamous. This did not translate into either a PFS or overall survival benefit, but if we look at the older population, particularly those over 70, there is in fact, in this nested post-hoc analysis, a survival advantage over 9 months favoring nanoparticle-bound paclitaxel. Now granted, it was not the primary endpoint of the study, but it's over 150 patients and it's tantalizing data. And it's particularly important in the context of a trial that was presented 2 years ago at this meeting by Elizabeth Kwa and colleagues comparing combination chemo in the elderly. Carboplatin, again, given every 4 weeks with weekly paclitaxel, 3 weeks out of 4, versus dealer's choice, either gemcitabine or vinorelbine, the two standard single agents. And when those of you answered the question, it was roughly an even split between the two choices. And here we see a major improvement in survival that's heralded by PFS and response advantage, certainly more toxicity, but manageable toxicity in this setting. And I would argue in a fit older patient between the ages of 70 and 90, even PS2s are included in this trial, that a combination regimen with carboplatin need not necessarily be taxane, but GEM, some combination they can tolerate, is perfectly reasonable, and it's certainly my preferred approach. Here's the survival curves, and you can see a rapid separation within months, and that separation persists over time. And again, this is regardless of age group, whether they're 70 to 80 or even over the age of 80. And I have now preferentially used the weekly taxane because of the nab-paclitaxel data. I tend to use that in squamous cell. And adenocarcinoma patients who have creatinine clearances below 45, where pemetrexed is contraindicated, I will go with weekly paclitaxel. Finally, PS2 data presented last year by Rogerio Lelenbaum, again at this meeting, isolating the role of platinum, in this case carboplatin, in combination with pemetrexed versus pemetrexed alone. And here too, we see a major advantage in survival, about a 3.5 month improvement in median survival, a very striking p-value with an HR of 0.57. And again, this was heralded by an improvement in PFS and in response rate. So, data supporting platinum combinations, carboplatin combinations, in both the elderly and in PS2. And we can debate whether the PS2 is due to comorbidity or due to the underlying cancer. Certainly in the latter, I will use a combination. If it's due to comorbidity, then I'll think twice and frequently use a single agent. And I believe that's my last slide.
Just kind of curious, Corey, you know, it's one thing to look at numbers and, of course, a very different thing to look at patients. You know, when you have a 80, 85-year-old patient who's a PS2 in front of you, in your own mind, what's the likelihood that they're going to feel better? Not just that the tumor, that they're going to notice that they feel better. Do you see that?
I do see that. If they're symptomatic from the lung cancer, they frequently will feel better. And we tend to forget this. We constantly look at response rate, but we really need to look at patient-reported outcomes, at the symptoms that patient has at the time of diagnosis. So I will give them carboplatin in combination with a weekly taxane. Usually at that age, unfortunately, their creatinine clearance more often than not is below 45. I may attenuate the dose. So in selected individuals, I might go with an AUC of 405 and a taxane at 80 per meter squared. But I try to get it in. And another advantage for weekly taxane is you have the opportunity to bail out if you start seeing untoward toxicity. Pem-carbo certainly is a reasonable combination, and adeno has an older patient with adenocarcinoma has intact renal function, and gem-carbo in selected patients would be reasonable in squamous patients.
So, Ross, do you share this perspective? I mean, do you see older, sick patients, you know, feel markedly better with chemotherapy?
Yeah, I mean, your example earlier said the performance status was low because of age-related abnormalities and the underlying disease. And you have to kind of weigh up, often by asking the patient or their relatives, how fit were they a year ago? And if they were water skiing a year ago, even if they were 80, and you know this is all related to the disease, they may well feel better with an effective therapy.
It's a very practical way to approach this. Heather, any thoughts about this?
No, I completely agree.